Peter writing, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles, scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Yesterday evening I was having supper with a friend. I'd been working late, so it had to be something that could be prepared quickly as soon as I got through the front door. And so naturally being, just quickly picked up some hummus and some Pringles, which I thought would be a good first course. Not much preparation being there. Because I knew he was a gym freak, I made sure it was low-fat, organic, extra virgin olive oil applied to it. So I thought it was probably the healthiest thing I've eaten for about a month. And then fish and vegetables, ghastly. But, it was really healthy. So that was a good thing. I'd first met him about 25 years ago, and he's a trainee lawyer in London. I'd read the Bible with him about once a fortnight, meeting him near where he worked in the city at all kinds of odd hours, which trainee lawyers in the 90s used to work. Life's been complicated since then, relationships, jobs, everything that goes up and down in most of our lives at different times and in different ways. So as we talked last night over this astonishingly healthy food, only helped for me by the smallest glass of white wine, I realized as he talked, do you know, you're as passionate about Jesus now with everything that's happened as you were 25 years ago. And I thought that was really impressive given what life had been like. And the Apostle Peter, had I been having supper with him last night, difficult, of course, because he's dead, but had I been having supper with him last night, I'd have felt exactly the same about him. We can't miss, as we read these verses, how excited he was about his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that his life hadn't always been anything like as easy as he might have liked it to have been. And at that point, writing as he was to those churches, those Christians in what we would now call modern day Turkey, churches he'd founded, people he'd led to faith, individuals he discipled over the years, he must sometimes have looked and thought, you know, Paul, you're doing amazing things, planting churches, leading people to Christ, discipling people. I think I'd better do some as well. And he'd chosen different places, but God had blessed him just as much as he blessed the Apostle Paul. And there he was writing from Rome to Turkey, a Rome which was in turmoil at the time. Nero, this barking mad emperor, was on the throne. You can see I'm trying to be modern, can't you? I just can't get away from anything. Was on the throne persecuting Christians in Rome. It hadn't got its fiercest, but it was getting worse and worse every month. But he wrote to these people whom he knew, he prayed for, and he cared and wanted to make sure that they, whatever they were going to have to go through one day, would never lose their passion for being the people of Jesus Christ in the places where they lived and they worked. And at the start of this letter, he was utterly unequivocal about how much God wanted to bless them. We see that at the end of verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. It had the idea of they wanted the fullness of God's grace and God's peace in their lives. He wanted their experience of God's grace and peace to be multiplied. In the original language, it's just one word, but it's hard to unpack. just what a positive thing he was saying to them. And it's above the level of most New Testament letters. Paul, in all his letters, as I checked them this morning, just used to say grace and peace. John, in his letters, did a bit of a kind of change on it when he said mercy and love, or grace and love, or peace and grace. Apollos, who probably wrote the letter to the Hebrews, didn't mention grace and peace at all at the start. Only Jude, in a tiny letter, uses the same word. I want it to be multiplied in your life. I want you to have an abundance of God's blessing, that grace which enables us to experience God's love because of Jesus. That gift of grace, the words are very similar, an experience is so absolutely right for you, so personal for you. It's a declaration that God favors you. That's what I want you to know, says Peter. I want you to know the favor God feels towards you. And peace, he said, a word that for him would have had so many memories. Do you remember when he was having supper with the other disciples on the day of resurrection, devastated, hardly daring, though believed, there'd been rumors that Jesus was alive. Jesus walked through the wall, and the first thing he said was peace. Not a cliche. He'd gone through the cross, and he'd gone through the resurrection. He was saying, I can say peace because I'm here, I'm alive, I can deliver. Don't worry about circumstances. Never feel defeated by what's happened. However hopeless it looks, you can still receive my blessing because I'm alive and I can deliver. And he wanted the people he was writing to in Turkey to be just as certain as he'd become that night, just as confident in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted them to seek God's blessing in abundance. And Jesus looks at us today and said, that's exactly what I want for you. I don't just want to bless you. I want that blessing to be multiplied in your life. I want you to know more and more about the blessing that I have for you. The trouble with the years go by, we subtly begin to expect less. And Peter said, well, I subtly begin to expect less. You all look as though that's never occurred to you at all. So, you know, let me just talk to myself for a few moments. I subtly begin to expect less. I need to begin to expect more, just as you're expecting more. He says, you know, it goes on and says to them, you're elect, even if you're exiles. Running out of time, so I'll just talk about being elect. He says, you know, the people, you're chosen. He says, you were no afterthought, no accident. In eternity, I set my loving concern on my son, Jesus, and those who come to faith through him. I'm not going to give up on you. I love you. You're part of my purpose. You're part of my bigger plan. I'm utterly committed to you, which is why I want to bless you. What's been your experience of God's blessing in the last week? What have been your experience of his grace just reaching out to you? His peace just transforming the situation as you think he can deliver. He's conquered death. He's here in my life by his Spirit. He wants to multiply his blessings in my life. And I hope today you're thinking, I want you to do that, Lord Jesus. I really want you to do it.